there. But we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 15. Excuse me. And at first I was like, where was I at? Because it's been so long since I was been in. I was like, I hope I didn't lose my spot. And I did lose my Bible, though, because it's not loading. Oh, I guess it helped my Wi-Fi was on. Let's see here. Miss Gretchen, do you have that verse over there?
Uh-huh.
All right, let's start out here.
Okay, John 6, verse 15.
Yes, ma'am.
When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone.
All right, we'll stop there because that one's really good. So to give some context where we're at, we are where he had just fed the 4,000, 5,000, and that was just the men. So if we counted the women and children too, most scholars believe there was roughly 15 to 20,000 minimum there at that time. So he took a little boy sack lunch, fed it. Now everybody's wanting to follow him because of the miracles. And we talked about that before, about how easy it is to follow Jesus for the signs and the wonders. But Jesus is starting to move away from that, and he's going to say some stuff later on in chapter 6 that is very hard for them to understand, to the point where they actually want to leave. But I do love this verse because it speaks of something that I think Jesus mimics for all of us. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, he made him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. He knew at this time that they were going to exalt him before his time. And Jesus was like, I can't do it. Like, I don't want, you all cannot do this for me. You can't put me here yet. And I think it spoke of a lot of humbleness. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the church today, whenever somebody's being exalted before their time, hardly ever do you see somebody stepping back and saying, well, I think this isn't the time yet for me to step into this position. And is that an example that we follow, Jason, you think?
Oh, yeah, I think it's good. Yeah. I was just looking at my Bible commentary. It says, Jesus did what every man must learn to do in times of popularity and temptation to be exalted over success. He slipped away from the crowd into some secret place to pray.
Mm. I knew I liked Dake, besides the bathwater.
Yeah.
Besides the baby in the bathwater, I really like Dake a lot.
Yeah.
So he does write some good notes and good insight on the scripture. And so, but I guess it's easy though. Like it's easy to remember when Paul and Silas was traveling and that one chick kept following them, and she was like, you know, behold the servants of God, and she was really lifting them up. But he actually turned around and rebuked them, and he cast the devil out of her. And it was kind of like Paul's way of saying, I don't receive this kind of notoriety. I don't want this kind of nonsense. You're not going to build me up. You're not trying to puff me up. You're not trying to make me better. And I guess it comes back to what John did of, I must decrease so that he can increase.
Right.
And we always must keep that humbleness about us as the body of Christ. And it's difficult at times because people want to put you there. And, you know, pastors, you got to make sure leaders, worship leaders, and I think it's people with a gifting. And I think it speaks of that pulling yourself away from the situation. And I think that's a big deal because we have been notorious for superstars in the church, and we've made them superstars. And the problem is the church is okay with superstars, and the superstars are okay with being superstars. But I guess it's like the saying I've always said, and I believe I heard somebody say this, is never let your gifting take you where your character can't keep you. And if your character's not prepared to be where your gifting can take you, you have to step back and move yourself away from the crowd.
Yeah.
So anybody's – Hannah here, we just interject. So just if you ever sign up a spot, just go for it. And it's Monday morning, so I make about 17,000 pronunciation mistakes, and I can't wait to talk about Jason's spelling mistake. Oh, my gosh.
It was late.
I can't wait. Oh, one time, I will say this, my favorite question you ever gave me, and you got me good. I mean, this one you got me, because sometimes I look at the question, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I will at least peek at them and say, okay, is there any of them I can't even start to talk about, just to make sure. But there was one in Chronicles, and I did not think about it. I was like, okay, this is going to be some kind of, you know, who is this guy? So I was like, we'll figure it out. I get there, and it's nothing. It's literally so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so. And they told me they didn't have their spot, so they said, Aaron, can you read? So here I am. I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, there is no question here. And Jason and Miss Gretchen's in here snickering. I'm pretty sure they plotted together just to do this to me. I'm saying names I can't pronounce. There's no question to answer, and they're just in here laughing at me.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you could pronounce those names.
You know I can't.
I can't either.
Joe Schmo begot Sally Mae, and Sally Mae begot Susie Homemaker, and it's just, I can't pronounce Hebrew names ever. I'm thoroughly convinced that when we get to heaven, that we're going to get to heaven, and Jesus is going to laugh at us saying, oh my gosh, you all are way off with all these names. We probably didn't even say Peter right somehow. But anyways, Jesus went alone, and then even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over to Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus would not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 520 or 534 longs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into his ship, and immediately the ship was at the land, whither they went. Now, I think me and Josh Milburn alluded to this and talked a little bit about this scripture in forward thinking, or maybe we read some of this last time we were on Tuesday. It's been a long 3 days since last Tuesday. But I do think that we did talk about this, that I don't really blame the disciples for kind of being a little bit afraid. For one, they are on a ship that's getting ready to go down in the middle of the lake. And so that's a big deal. And then they look over in the middle of the storm, and they see this dude walking on the water to them. And Mr. Miller, if you were on a ship that was in the middle of a storm, and you see a guy walking on the water, afraid or not afraid?
Yeah, it's going to be odd for sure. Yeah, it's not something you see every day.
No.
And they couldn't even tell that it was Jesus, right?
I don't think they could.
Yeah.
Hannah, so, afraid or not afraid?
Oh, definitely afraid.
Miss Gretchen, what's yours?
You know I would be. I'd just, if the water was calm, I'd still be a little bit afraid. I can't swim.
Yeah. I do think that Jesus, like, I don't know how, I mean, we know that he appeared differently at the Mount of Transfiguration because he radiated with the glory, and he gave them a sneak peek of what he will look like after he takes on his incorruptible body. But I do think, too, though, that there was times that people didn't recognize him somehow. Like, there was a supernatural radiance.
It was dark, too.
It was dark. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, there was time. Now, I do understand why they didn't recognize him whenever they saw him after the resurrection. For one, there would have been a drastic change from the time he died to the time he resurrected. Because I don't think we realize how much blood, how much body, his body had suffered, how many cuts, how many slices, but also his hair turned white as wool. I mean, everything about Jesus changed from the time he died to resurrection. So I understand struggling with that sight. But over and over, too, it's like there was times in this, all throughout the Gospels, like he would do something, and then it would be like he just kind of like disappeared. Have you ever noticed? You know what I'm talking about? Like, and I don't know if he translated, like he just poof, walk through a wall and gone, or if somehow like the Lord would disguise him so he wasn't noticeable as he went through the crowd.
Well, notice it says at the tail end of 21, and immediately the ship was at the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so apparently they were in the middle of the lake, and then suddenly it's at the land. I think that's a miracle as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I could be wrong. It could be just a translation thing, but I think that's what it was.
I think so. You think it kind of like accelerated
the whole thing was a miracle.
Journey.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I took a class on John once, and the professor he had been to Israel and been to that particular area, and was on the shore there, and they talked about how that the little microclimate there, it was quite often that these big winds would come up and mess up the lake there. And big waves, which is very, very uncommon for a normal, you know, a large lake or something like that. But because of the you know, the way that the winds kind of came in, like kind of funneled in, they would quite often create these big...
Wasn't it like a vacuum effect? Because there was, it was almost like the reverse of an island.
Yeah.
It was the Sea of Galilee, didn't have it like land all around it.
Yeah.
And it carried like a funnel, like when the wind starts
like
to blow.
I can't remember the exact details of it, but...
I'm not that smart.
Yeah, but he
I
was
can't
saying,
talk about like you'd hand dinosaurs.
I don't know about that. But...
I was there. And yeah. I was on that lake, too.
Yeah. You went out on it?
And I was a little afraid, too.
So no, how much
it,
land?
It was calm. It was calm.
Could you see land all around it? Like, was it like?
Yeah, you could see land all around it, yeah.
When you're out on the lake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's a massive lake.
Yeah, you don't feel like it, you know, that, you know, like you're in an ocean or something because you can't see the land. But, you know, and there's a spot where that... like a only spot where the swine could have gone off the cliff because it's...
So you saw that too?
Yeah.
You know. That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Would you like a storm to blow up in the middle of it? No? See?
No. You know, I was just thinking, you know, some of the winds that we've had, you know, I have a pond next to my house. And we talked about how there was one day that was so windy.
Yeah.
I mean, there was waves, you know, like... I made the comment, like, somebody could surf on that, you know. I can imagine, you know, being in the middle of a larger lake like Sea of Galilee that there could have been. And then seeing something like a figure that looks like a man, you know, walking out on the water.
Well, notice he doesn't rebuke him either.
Mm-mm.
He just says, it is I, be not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Which he does. There's been a lot of times in the scripture where they had encounters with spiritual things. And I think that spiritual things are a lot more intimidating than sometimes we give it credit for. Like, I would say if I saw a real angel with my own eyes and I knew it was an angel and he started to speak to me, I would probably be like, whoa, just like all throughout the Old Testament is and everything.
A lot of times they had to say,
be not
afraid.
Be not afraid.
Be not afraid.
And it was also dark. It says that it was dark. Mm-hmm. So, I mean... I don't know. That's even more scary when there's no light and, you know, Jesus is there. And I mean, I don't know. I think that's cool that, he's appearing and I'm sure that he had a radiance, a light about him as he appeared in the middle of the dark. He's always has symbolism behind everything, mm-hmm. every miracle that he does.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, and I think it would be awesome to sit there, and I know that if it was my wife in the boat, it would be a panic attack right now. And so, and I think sometimes we just don't give the disciples the room to be human that we want them to be. So we try to make everything like, oh, you were afraid. How dare you? Like, you just had no faith. But I think their faith probably was just fine. I think that they just had an encounter. And I think if we think of the disciples more as humans and say, hey, look, they get scared just like we do. But in the midst of their fear, in the middle of the storm, Jesus still showed up and still spoke peace to them. He didn't condemn them. He just said, hey, it's I. Don't be afraid. I've got your back. We're going to get to this other side. Everything's going to be okay. And I think it actually will help us on our journey of faith instead of condemn us in our journey of faith. Because we expect people to be superheroes all the time in the faith. And sometimes life throws really hard curveballs that we didn't expect. And if your faith is struggling, then we can look at the faith of, say, the disciples at this moment when they're on the boat and they feel like it's sinking. Like, if we were honest with ourselves, with all the listeners out there, like, if we were honest, we probably all felt like those disciples at the time, thinking we're sinking, we're afraid, what's going on? And we probably all have the testimony of Jesus come on the water, walked on the situation, and was able to speak peace to the storm. And if you're going through a storm, I believe that Jesus can still speak peace to the storm. And whatever you're facing, whatever diagnosis, whatever issue, whatever financial struggle, whatever you're going through right now, whatever storm you have encountered that you didn't expect, because the disciples did not expect this storm. They were just going from point A to point B. And maybe you were in life going point A to point B, and a storm brew up. I still want to say to you that Jesus is still speaking to the storm and calming it this morning. And whatever you're going through, he is bigger than any storm that you face in life. Amen.
Amen.